The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, International Bible teacher Beth Moore reveals some of her worst fears and how God has set her free.
I couldn't fix it all. I'm not God over it. But if that terrible thing happens, then God is going to take care of me.
Learning to trust God, even when you're facing your worst fears. Next.
Joining us on Life Today. Well, it's Wednesdays with Beth, and you're always blessed, I know, as I am. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
And you know, one of the things that our viewers tell us whenever we're out and see them, or you'll email or you'll write a little note, and oftentimes you write notes when you send a gift in. One of the things you tell us is when we watch Life Today, we know we're going to be fed. We know we're going to be inspired. We know that you care about us. But we also know that we're going to have the opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. And we like that. As a matter of fact, we watch Life Today to find out where, how, and with whom we can share life. I love that you think that way. That's actually the way God wants us all to think. Well, Beth Moore is going to be a blessing to you. You can count on that, and you can also know you're going to have an opportunity to be a blessing to someone else. Here's Beth.
Here's what I'm asking you to do. I know this is painful, but I found such freedom in it. And I'm hoping somebody here, I know this is going to hurt for a little while, but get through the other side of the process. I want you literally to think through some of your worst case scenarios. Pick a few. I can think of a few. Maybe some of them would be common to us. Pick out two of the worst things. What Job would call when my worst fears have come upon me. What would they be? Pick them out and think them through. What if they did happen? I'll give you a couple of mine. If my husband had an affair, then what? And so it got on me, and I just was overcome with fear about it. And I thought, okay, let's take it to the worst. So the Lord was like, it was as if He said over my heart, think it all the way through. Think of the nitty-gritty. I mean, Beth, think it. Go ahead. Give way to it for a moment. Just let your thoughts go with it. What would it be like? I thought, okay, worst case scenario is not just that Keith had a one-night stand. I want to say again, in case you've just tuned in, he has not. He has not. Say he had. That wouldn't be my worst fear. Oh, that's awful. That would not be my worst fear. What is by far worse than that? He fell in love. If Keith fell in love with another woman, and if she were half my age, I'm coming to the worst one of all. Worst one of all. And my daughters liked her and accepted her. And my grandchildren called her something like Mimi or Fifi. That's bad. That's my worst. That's where that is concerned, where infidelity would be concerned. It does not get worse than that. When it's full throttle, everybody loves her, everybody just loves her to pieces. That is my worst nightmare. If he's gonna do it, let's at least hate her. I mean, that's the way this comes down. I want my girls to say, I'm never speaking to my father again. I really don't mean that. Well, sort of I do. But, so the Lord would think it through. How about what? that's the worst it could be. Well, Lord, that is the worst it could be. Okay, Beth, then what? Well, I'll be devastated. Then what? Lord, I'll cry for months. Okay, fair. Then what? Well, I'll be so mad, and I'll probably have trouble trusting people, and I'll probably look around me constantly to see if she's there, and I'll have to go to, like, baby's births with Fifi, and okay, fair. Then what, Beth? Then what? I mean, just not out loud, just kept pushing in my spirit. Then what? Okay, then what? Well, at the end of the day, I knew. I'm going to get on the floor, have a fit, cry my eyes out, open up the scriptures, bury my face in them, cry out to God to redeem my pain and work it through until it bears fruit that never passes away. And then, by His grace, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back up. Stand back up on my feet. Wipe off my knees. Go. Let's get back to living. I demand in Jesus' name my joy back. I will fulfill my calling. There may be some people that can't take it. Somebody else needs the word so bad, they'll be okay with it. I couldn't fix it all. I'm not God over it. But if that terrible thing happens, then God is going to take care of me. He has to. I'm His. He has to. You're His. There will be the grace, and there will be the grace. Hebrews chapter 12 says, the grace to which applied, He can treat our bitterness. The grace to have the strength to get back up. I don't have to tell you what my other worst fear is, and it's worse than this one. It's the only one worse than this one. And it's if something happened to one of my primary loved ones, then what? And the Lord made me look it all the way through. And you know what? I thought about four or five of them, and I cried as if it had happened because I felt like what the Lord was saying to me, no, don't give yourself a shortcut here. Think it through. See the grief, Beth. Now, again, He wasn't saying it out loud. In my spirit, He was pressing me through a test. See it in your mind. Stand at the casket. Picture them in it. Beth, you've done this over and over. You might as well do it with me right now so we can work this thing through. Stand at the grave, then go back to the grave with flowers. Do it, Beth, in your mind, since you have pictured it so many times right here before me. Like, do it. Live it out in your very mind. See, and then what? Lord, I don't know. Lord, it would... The months that would follow. Yep. Oh, I miss them so much. Yes. Then what? I gotta get back down on the floor. I gotta wash His feet with my tears as I hang on to His ankles for dear life and go, You are the only anchor to my soul. These ankles are the only anchor to my soul. I am dead. Raise me from the dead. And one little joint at a time. We start, just start to get back up. not as one who's never been through it, but as one who is ministered to by the miraculous manna of God's grace that will be given according to our need when the time comes for our suffering. It will be given for every need we have in exact supply. Little by little, we get back up as one who has been broken in a world of brokenness, one who has been wounded in a world of wounded people, one who believed her or his life was completely over. My mother-in-law told me something after she lost her firstborn at 3.5 years old. The anniversary was just of 50 plus years, just a couple of, I did not have in my mind to share this, but the Lord has put it on my heart right now, and it was not in my notes, not even occurred to me, but right now as I'm sharing it with you, it's coming back to me. Just last week, we were at a hamburger place that is not far from where we live in the country, just outdoors, just sit at picnic tables and eat. That's kind of what we do where we are. And my father-in-law, my husband, sort of got preoccupied talking to the guy that runs the place because he's just out there with us. And so it was the three of us were kind of talking to my father-in-law. I noticed that they seemed somber. I love them. They're my parents. They are my parents. My parents have been gone for a number of years. Keith's parents are my parents. I love them like my own blood. And my father-in-law, he leans in to me like this. He says, "Baby, today is the anniversary of Duke's death." I was taken aback. When he said it, my mother-in-law was sitting right across the table. So I'm sitting right next to him. Keith is sitting by her, but Keith is talking. He has no idea what we're talking about. And I look at her, and she reaches down her pocket. And the whole time we're talking, 50 plus years later, he said, "Well, we went to church and knelt at the altar together. I leaned over to my mother-in-law and I said, "Do you remember what you told me one time?" When Amanda was his exact age, and I don't know why it came up. I don't know why I had the courage for it to come up, because my mother-in-law does not talk about a lot of this very much because her heart is so very, very moved by it. But when Amanda was about his same age, I said, "I don't know how you lived. I think if I wouldn't live, Lord." And she said to me, and I reminded her of this a week and a half ago, "I didn't mean to. I kept waking up." I came home and I just cried my eyes out. I love him so much. But you know, my father-in-law leaned into me again and she was doing like this, threw up in her eyes. He said, "You know, honey, I didn't think we'd ever be okay. And I don't know what life would have been like if we'd gotten to raise all 5 of our children. They lost 2 of them. Too much." But he said, "Here we are, living the fullest years of our life. You and Keith and the girls and the grandkids, you bring us more joy. They're fruitful, happy. We can't pull him off the tractor. We can hardly get her inside. Planted a vegetable garden. Their lives are bearing much fruit. Come to Bible study. Lived so much of their lives out in church." the blanks that got filled in for them are the worst I've ever seen. He died in a fire. Worst I've ever seen. Then we think we'll grieve ourselves to death, but we keep waking up. Then here come grandchildren and even some great-grandchildren. We laughed again. We never have forgotten. But he was careful to tell me that night, a week and a half ago. Here we are. Happy. What are we going to do? Think it through. If we're going to play the game with ourselves and picture it happening over and over and over again, then let's just bring the whole thing before Jesus and think it through right before him, where he just keeps going, and then what, and then what, and then what, and then picture yourself in his arms, getting back to your feet and going, then my God will take care of me. He will. He will. He will. He will. I gotta trust God. Period. End of paragraph. Because he is faithful.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Yes, he will. And I think that without doubt, and by the way, Betty, we keep getting cards from Beth letting us know that she's thinking about us continually. She does love all of our children. She did love our Robin. And she keeps lifting us up. But the beautiful thing is that when you've been through something like we have, and like Beth's talked about, knowing that she could herself, let's just say, so to speak, crash and burn, that you know God didn't fail, and no matter how painful, no matter how poorly you understand what has happened that you just don't understand, you do know that God is going to hold on to you. He's going to lift you up. And that's what Beth's trying to get through to you. And I pray with all my heart that you hear it. I want to remind you that this daily inspirational devotion book, 365 devotions, A Good Word for a Great Day, this is good. And I hope you'll ask for it. Now, here's what we want you to do, and I promise you, as far as I'm concerned, I think you're about to see something that touched my heart as deeply as anything I've ever seen. And I'm going to tell you something. I love this little girl.
Look at this little tiny hand. Looks like the hand of a newborn. Little Julia's 1 year and 8 months old. She looks so much younger because she's so malnourished. Frankly, she may not even make it. When you see a child this thin, the ribs showing, and what's on her face is her skin dying, because there's no nutrition to keep her healthy. Every breath she takes is a struggle. It's a struggle to just stay alive at this point. Her little heartbeat, her little ribs, you can count them just by looking. Her legs are about the size of my thumb. I've seen this so many times over the years, but I'm tired of that. And I know that the solution is simple. This is not a disease that we have to find the cure for. This is the basic necessities of life. Everybody deserves the basic necessities of life. I know little Julia does. And so many children just like her are out there. You don't get the opportunity every day to save a life. But today you have that opportunity. Come here, Jesus, Lord. I just ask you in Jesus' name to let little Julia live. Let her grow up, have a life.
Oh boy, every moment that I was looking at that little girl, I was saying, Julia, I love you, honey. I really do love you. And I want to make it well. Betty, I remember Beth Moore weeping over a little baby Matthew. And I remember Peter saying, I don't think that he'll make it a day. And we said, let's help him, all those children. And you did. And Matthew not only lived, but he got healthy. And Beth Moore went by, I don't know, a year or two later, and he played soccer with her. And there he is. And then Betty, right there where that baby was, in that same nation of Angola, where they're having a terrible drought right now. It's killing so many little children like that. And where we support a hospital, that's a final stage where they were fortunate enough to get to a hospital where we're giving them the supplies and the care. We were saving lives, and Princess Di went right there in that same country, nearby, right close, and held that beautiful little baby that was so chubby that we'd saved. And Princess Di asked the world to feed the hungry. And that's what I thought with Julia. I wanted her to know we love her. Julia did not live until the next morning. Betty, we always ask our viewers, let's do some more. They'll never watch this program. We're not going to ask them to help.
I know, James. This doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to get to this point of hopelessness. Julia didn't make it, but there are some other children that can make it if we will help them, if we'll get the food to them, the nourishment that they need. That's the cure. It's not some disease that there is no cure for, as Janice said in that spot you just saw. There is a cure. Food for them. They need the food, the nourishment that can make the difference in life and death. And we can help them do that.
I just want to say, please do what it takes. Please. The missionaries are so special. They love God. And they love the little Julians. And they feel so helpless when they can't help them. And the missionaries have said the only way we can help them, we don't want to be going off. We don't want to have to go to the States or to our own cities to raise money. We want to stay here. Would you help us? And I said, I will. I'll do all I can to get people to help. So would you go to the phone right now, dial the number, or go to lifetoday.org, go online, this is lifetoday.org. And you make the best gifts you can make to save little Julius and children like that. And get them before they get to that stage. And we can. That's what we do in those feeding centers. And that's what we'll even do with feeding in school areas, to try to keep them coming to school. $30, $50, or $100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for several months. That gift just keeps giving life. Please go to the phone. Take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to life, because that's exactly what you're giving. We're going to send you some beautiful gifts to bless you, to help you grow. A devotional book, 365 Good Words for a Great Day. The Family Reading Bible, you can read it to your children, grandchildren. It's set up just for that. We always want to bless you. The commemorative bronze. Listen, if there's any way, and I'm telling you, the situation is serious, you could help us feed 100 children, make that special gift. Please, whatever you can do, you do it right now for the glory of God and to save precious lives.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life.
Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst drought and food shortage in years, we desperately need to replenish our supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we would like to send you a good word for a great day, a 365-day devotional providing an inspirational new word, Bible verse, and promise for each new day. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request the Family Reading Bible, featuring easy-to-use reading tracks, questions, and fun facts to help engage your children in God's Word. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the 50th anniversary commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, like I shared with you, the precious little girl, she is one that, you know, didn't make it. As I looked at her, I thought, God, use that precious little life, save millions of lives. And you help us, please. It's not too late for so many. Let us send you a good word for a great day devotional. The gifts we offer you are to bless you, to nourish you and strengthen you. Thank you for helping us pick little children up. Give them a future before it's too late. Sure love you. Thanks for watching Life Today.
Those people that you saw there are not these people here today.
God's miraculous restoration of a marriage tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.